Okay, I'm hoping you can hear me clearly. Yes, I get a nod from Heather, so I can't, well, let me just get everybody. There we go. Okay, quite recently, but was supposed to have been a fortnight ago, Jan and I were walking around here in the Chilterns. Do you remember that cold spell we had? It was very cold, but also very foggy for about 3 or 4 days. The fog or mist actually rarely lifted. It was very low lying. And what the sun was trying to do was to break through. And occasionally, just occasionally, as we were walking, we saw a shaft of light and the way ahead could actually be seen. You know, doesn't it feel like at the moment we have just glimpses of hope in the middle of sadness, loneliness, restriction, all the things that we know that surrounding us at the moment. Disappointment is a great big thing that I know many are feeling. Really interesting that back in the days when Jesus was born, equally his birth was a shaft of hope in the midst of a very dark world. At the time, the Romans were occupying Palestine, and the Jews had a particular religion, as we know, that were ruled by their laws, and they were longing for a Messiah to come and break them free of the rule of the Romans. And they were looking for this Messiah. They were always seeking for this Messiah to come to free them from their oppressors. Doesn't it sound a little familiar? Okay, we haven't got Romans ruling over us, but we've got this horrible coronavirus that seems to be restricting us and stopping us from doing what we really want to do. Sounds very familiar. But in the middle of that darkness and gloom, a glimmer of hope appeared. The birth of Jesus, foretold, as we've heard so far in our readings, by those Jewish prophets. One of the recent readings we just had, we're told that Joseph and Mary had arrived in Bethlehem, their descendants' home, to register following a decree by the then Roman emperor. They lived in Nazareth, which was about a 5 to 6 days' walk from Bethlehem. And it's there that we know that Mary gave birth to Jesus, and we know the story so well. Luke records angels telling the shepherds that hope was now present in the birth of a baby who was to be the Messiah. Let me just read those couple of verses. We're going to hear it again a little later on. In that region where near Bethlehem, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. But see, I'm bringing you good news, a great joy for all people. To you is to be born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord." A glimpse of hope in the midst of huge darkness. Okay, so lovely stories. But how can this help you, me, our friends, our families in the midst of perhaps loneliness, depression, sadness, disappointment? On Thursday, I facilitated a session with a group of eight managers at work. We did this via, well, we don't use Zoom, we use Teams. And all these managers worked with people who have mental health problems. And in this particular case, they have both mental health problems and substance misuse problems. I asked these managers two questions. The first was, how are you? And how's your team? And the second is, what are you going to put in place to help you get through the next few months of winter so that you can help your well-being and give you that little bit of hope? There were some really fascinating answers, and we haven't got the time to go through them, but I want to ask a similar question or questions to all of us today. So when someone asks us, as they do quite readily, sometimes it's on Zoom, sometimes it's if we bump into them how are you? Tell them. Tell them how you are. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm all right. I'm okay. Oh, not so bad is the typical comment that people make. Not so bad. Well, what does that mean? How are you really? When you say that, it's really you begin to open up and have an honest conversation with someone. Say, yeah, it's really tricky for me at the moment, if it is. It's really hard. I'm really disappointed that I can't see the grandchildren, or I can't go and meet whoever it is, or I can't hug anybody, or whatever it is for you. But also reciprocate as well and listen well. Listen to what people are saying. And then the second thing I'd like us to think about is another question, really, and the same thing that I ask these managers. What things, very practical things, are you going to put in place for yourself so that you can keep going? Because it's not going to be easy. I know we've got this almost the messiah around the corner, really, the vaccine. We're all hoping. Some of you, might, one or two of you might well have had it, but I guess most haven't. But that will be coming. And that will bring the life that we're hoping, well, the life that we knew will return. As Christians, we have a hope that is not some distant glimmer or possibility. We have a hope that's actually within us. There's a lovely verse in Hebrews, Hebrews 6. We have this hope as an anchor for our souls. And what that's talking about is that in each of us who are Christians, there is a hope that's within us that is Christ himself. Christ within us, the hope of glory, as another scripture says. Around 40 years ago, I was ordained, just below that, 40 years. It sounds like a long time ago. Gosh, it was. And I served at that point. So it's just actually at that 40 years ago, I was in college preparing to come here to High Wycombe, which is where I served my curacy, which is where I first met Heather and Phil and Paul and Venetia. So shows how old we all are now. But I remember only one thing from the retreat pre-ordination. When you get ordained, you go on retreat for a few days. And there was a guy who was leading the retreat. His name was Gonville French Beater. That's some name. And he wrote a number of books. One of his books was called A Glimpse of Glory. And it's always stuck in my mind. However, one of the things he said was, in the ups and downs of life, God is always present, always loving, always wooing, always holding the anchor for our soul. We may not feel this, and that's the important thing just to notice. We may not feel it at the moment, at least some of us may not, but God is there. Indeed, like the walk I started with, we may only glimpse his presence or know his presence from time to time. However, God is there through the voice and often the kindness of others. I'd like to finish with a piece from a lovely book that Jan bought quite recently. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. I don't know if any of you have come across it. I'm going to put it on my screen there. It looks a little bit like that. You won't be able to see it with these tiny little pictures, but it's a brilliant book. I'm going to share a few things. The author of this is a guy called Charlie McKenzie or McKenzie. And it's a story of a boy, a mole, a fox and a horse who meet each other and some of the conversations that they have. This is a phrase, when the dark clouds come, keep going. When the big things feel out of control, focus on what you love right under your nose. This storm will pass. After the storm. But we've got such a long way to go, sighed the boy. Yes, but look how far we've come, says the horse. Sometimes I want to say I love you all, said the mole, but I find it difficult. Do you? Said the boy. Yes. So I say something like, I'm glad we're all here. Okay, says the boy. I'm glad we're all here. We're so glad you're here too. What's your best discovery? Asked the mole. That I'm enough as I am, said the boy. There's so much more in that little book that I could read to you, but I wanted to leave you with that because it's a sign of hope. And because if Christmas is anything, it's that hope that is within us, which, as I said, we may not feel at this moment, but the hope is there. And the hope lives within us through Jesus. And the hope that we can share with each other is through each other as we join together like this, and as we communicate God's love with each other by simply being there for each other. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. That was really, really helpful. Thank you. I'm just going to start to share and so that we can have that one. Oh, that one. Screen two, isn't it? Actually, no, it's not. I thought it was screen two. Sure. Right. So in our next hymn now, which is A Little Town.